Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
These guys are ridiculous. Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Wednesday, February 14th. Just wrapped up talking C's. If you'd like to hear our pod with Bobby Krivitsky of SI Media Group, you can check it out. That went out yesterday afternoon. Obviously, the Celtics play the Nets again tonight on the second half of a back-to-back. We discussed the first game on the channel yesterday. Went out at 5 a.m. And at current present, it is 12 noon. So we haven't watched the other game yet. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Sam, how are you doing? I think I know the answer.
Hurting.
You just got a cold? Like, what is it?
I don't know what I got. Whatever it is slowly gotten worse as the day got.
Is it a headache? Headache problem? Is that the issue?
Dry throat.
Tough.
See, tough. It's going to get worse.
Good luck.
I mean, I'm not even enjoying being sick. I'm not home.
Yeah, that's tough. That's not a fun one. But all right, well, let's throw it over to our future selves and see if future Sam is feeling any better after the Nets game. All right, we are here after the Celtics-Nets game. They whomped them. There's no other way to intro this game. The Celtics absolutely destroyed the Brooklyn Nets. They played the game that
I visualize every time before the Celtics play. I'm like, they should do this.
The Celtics play the brand of basketball that is unattainable on a nightly basis, but every once in a while, this team is good enough to show up and do it on the court. And that's exactly what they did. They beat them. Final score of 136-86, 50-point win. Every single player on the Celtics was a positive plus-minus, and all but three were a plus 10 or better, including two 40-plus plus-minuses on the team, which is obscene. Shout-out to D. White and Sam Hauser, who were plus 40 for Hauser, plus 44 for Derek White. This ridiculous.
They cooked them. I mean,
an insane game should go. Yeah, this was nuts.
Nets ass, just terrible. I saw people tweeting today about all the trades they didn't make. Couldn't agree more. Like, dumbass Sean Marks should have just traded everybody for all the picks. No, I mean, listen, the Celtics played great ball from the jump today. They got off to a hot start, never took their foot off the gas. And as dumb as it might sound, this game, coming right before the All-Star break, it shows you the difference between a good team, Celtics, and a team that is not good, the Nets. And here's why. Besides the 50 points, the Celtics buckled down and said, we are going to go and give it everything we have. The final game before we all go on vacation for a bit. And the Nets said, get me to vacation, baby. I'm not showing up for nothing today. I think Mikal Bridges was their leading scorer with 10 points, at least for the majority of the game. He had 10 points. They kept showing him on the bottom with the game leaders. It was Derek White who had
Trendon Watford.
Richard passed him.
Yeah, Trendon Watford finished with 15 off the bench in his 25 minutes. But outside of that, it was Bridges with 10, yeah.
Yeah. So, good on the Celtics, really, is my point. They kept their focus. This has been a staple of the week, I would say, is maintaining focus despite the situation. We've had three different instances of this now. The Miami game was a great one because they weren't making shots, managed to close the game because they stayed focused. How many times can I say this week, Jack? Because they stayed focused and played defense and got stops and out-hustled the Heat. Then on Tuesday in Brooklyn, they again fend off a late charge from the Nets. They get their baskets. They get enough stops at the end of the game. And then today, they focus on a day where I don't know if anybody expected them to be focused. There was a lot of chatter. I mean, as soon as we started the pregame stream today, Jack, you said, I'm not really sure if the fans are even going to come out and give us a real performance tonight in the pregame, in the arena, never mind the team. And the team came out 1-50. It ruled.
Yeah. Like this was perhaps the best defense the Celtics have played all season. Like, they were in that first quarter, they were cutting off every single passing lane the Nets wanted to make. Like, they would set off ball screens to try to get guys open. The Celtics cut it off. They were running around screens. Celtics cut it off. Like, the Nets had 15 points in the first and 17 in the second. They had 55 into three. Like, they had nothing. They made 31 shots. 31 shots. That's insane. They were completely shut down. They shot 38% from field, 32% from deep. Made 31 shots, 27 assists on those shots. So, sharing the rock. Credit, I suppose. But, like, for context, the Celtics made 21 more shots than the Nets. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't happen in a professional basketball game. The Celtics made this team look like an AAU team. Like, this was ridiculous. And credit to every single player on the Celtics. Derek White, phenomenal game. 10 of 16, 5 of 10, great game. Jason Tatum, 7 of 16, 2 of 7. Didn't shoot well from 3. Didn't matter. 9 assists and 7 rebounds. Carried over what happened in the last Nets game. Exactly, because it didn't matter. Sam Hauser, great game. 5 of 8, 4 of 7. Sam finally got his Hauser and Pritchard both play well game. 11 of 16,
finally,
6 of
9. Finally, it's only game 54.
Pritchard absolutely took over the fourth quarter. Killed them all. Luke Kornet, great game. 8 and 8. 3 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. Nemi Ikeda played fine. O'Shea Brissett hit a 3 and did a super cool and 1. Jrue Holiday didn't have to do anything. Too,
don't forget it.
Jrue Holiday had 3 points. he didn't have to do anything. He literally just was out there, played solid defense, had some rebounds, had some assists. Didn't matter. Porzingis, 9 shots, 15 points, got hurt a little bit. He said he's fine. Joe said he's fine. He'll be fine. That was fine.
A week anyway. Yep.
Svi Mykhailiuk wanted 2. Nemi Ikeda was fine. 8 and 4. Literally the only person on the Celtics not to score a point was Jordan Walsh. He was trying.
Catastrophic day for Jordan Walsh. Yeah, because the thing is, like you said, he played real minutes, so you can't even come out here and be like, well, he didn't get in until there's 3 minutes left. Like, nah, this man played, what, 20 minutes today? 18 minutes today?
Yeah.
So he had plenty of opportunities to put the ball in the basket. It didn't happen. You could tell he was kind of like excited to be out there in real minutes. Like, he went at Schroeder on a fast break, got stripped, lost the ball on a layup, and then went up and threw it off the inside of the rim. He had a couple where he was going inside and just couldn't hold on to the ball, and then he missed some threes. But I mean, he tried to impact the game in other ways, to his credit. Like, I think he had a block, he had a couple rebounds, he got out and ran. He was looking like he could fit into the offense in terms of actually running the plays, setting screens, making the correct passes.
Yeah.
He couldn't find the bottom of the net. Sucked to see for Jordan Walsh. I was so excited, and I think everybody was, when he checked in early today. We were like, oh man, like, maybe,
and then
Jordan
he got
Walsh
a foul off
like 10 points.
And then he got called for a foul immediately. The refs were just like, nah, it's foul. This guy's in the
it was
game.
Like the only foul they called today.
I know.
Either
and
way.
He had three fouls. He led the game in fouls. Trenton Watford had 4, but the Celtics fouled, tied with Keita. This was just great. This was a great way to go in the break. The vibes are high. Everyone's very happy. And Sam, I know you probably didn't notice, I actually listened to Sam and asked a question about a tweet of yours today.
Did you?
I did. I asked Joe Mazzulla if he would wear a headband on the sidelines.
What did he say?
No.
Good for you.
Well, I asked
him, I'm proud of you.
I was asking about, like, I'm gonna write an article about the importance of, like, having fun while you're also good, because, like, he had that thing where he told jokes in the huddle, and, like, yeah. I asked Derek White, I'm like, it feels like, obviously, Boston fans are harsh, and it's tough to grasp the concept of, like Joe Mazzulla said, fun can be sometimes viewed as a distraction, but, like, in an 82 game season, like, you have to be able to have fun. Like, this is a game when it comes down to it. And Derek White gave me a great answer. But I was asking Joe about the concept of, like, having fun and the importance of it, and, like, asked him about D. White and Jason Tatum wearing super cool headbands. And he said, you know, it's good that they can have fun, blah, blah, blah. And I said, would you wear a headband on the sidelines? Like, people want to know. People want to know. And he said, no, I don't think so. But then he went on this whole thing where he was, like, talking about how different coaches wear different things on the sideline. And he was like, yeah, hockey coaches wear suits. Baseball guys wear hats. You know, football coaches wear hoodies and hats. I'd like to wear a hood. He's like, he goes like, I'd like to wear a hoodie and a hat on the sideline, but apparently that's not allowed. So Joe is another elite quote
on his feet.
That he does. He does.
You should have been like, follow up to the headband. Would you check in? people are asking, like multiple podcasts, Talking Seas, how about them Celtics pregame show? Both times it was mentioned, what if Mazzulla checks himself into the game? We know you played D1, Final Four. Like, what do you think? Day like today.
He said he wore a headband in college and or high school, and I haven't found a single photo. So he's lying.
I don't know if he
lied to me.
I don't know. I've seen like two pictures from high school, but good for you. Look, you getting comfortable.
I tried. He laughed.
I guess it was like it's tension's then, pretty low when they win by 50.
Yeah, it's easy now. And I asked Kristaps a similar thing, and I said, Kristaps, you've been smiling since he got here. Like, how fun is it to be?
Where
on
the
this
fuck
team?
Is your head?
And then Abby asked him. And then Abby asked him a question later, like, how's it been meshing with the guys? And he goes, I mean, somebody asked me over here, like, I've been smiling since I got here. Like, it's great. Like, that dude can't get enough of this shit, man.
Kristaps, what do you think of the nickname for you, the rescue puppy? Thoughts?
Maybe not that comfortable.
This would have been the greatest game for me to be at. You would have asked Joe the headband question. I would have been like, my turn. And it would have
you
been.
You see what Cam asked D. White?
No.
Cam asked D. White. So let me find the proper transcription of it. Cam asked Derek White, do you have any advice for people on Valentine's Day looking to woo a partner? Derek White laughed. He goes, Pop used to always say you shouldn't just do something on Valentine's Day. He said, just be a good guy, buy some flowers.
I'm not
a flowers guy. So don't ask my wife, but yeah, buy some flowers. And then Abby goes, and well, then he went on, he said, and apparently you're supposed to buy gifts from your kids too. I didn't know that. So that's my bad. I'll learn next year. And then Abby goes, yeah, you got to buy the flowers and, you know, got to get the gifts from your kids. And D-White, are you salty? Like, what is just call that Abby post game.
Yeah. I was talking about Valentine's Day this week. I was like, well, this day is really about you. It's about us. No, it's not.
No. No, it's not. With all due respect. It was a great game. The reason we're able to fuck around and talk about this, like, they fucking killed him. Like, what do you want? They murdered him.
Like I said, this is the game I envision every time. I'm like, just do this. Like, it's not that hard. Get stops.
Dude, they picked him apart. There was one play. I'm going to try to find this play quick, and then we can wrap up. There was one play on offense that I think summed up the night for the Celtics. I think it was in the first or second quarter. And I forget who made the shot, but they ran like four different off-ball screens. And then somebody ended up cutting inside and finding it, like a pass and just getting an open layup. Or this was another one too here. Let's Nets were lost, dude. Like they had no chance. So here's this play, first of all. Like watch this. Screen, two on Tatum, dumps into Hauser. Finds Holiday in the corner, swing, wide fucking open. Like, this was the whole night. This was the entire night. Was just, yep, easy. Sorry, you can't do anything. Oh, I'm going to set a screen and slip. See you later. Open. Just, like, dude, they were picking them apart.
There was nothing they could do.
They were done. I mean, this is in the first quarter. Had enough. Like, they're cooked.
No, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to find enough.
I don't think I'm going to be able to find the super cool shot that I wanted to, but here's a super cool Cornette dunk if you'd like. Anyways, you see Cornette singing Whitney Houston on the sideline?
Yeah, I sure did.
I love it. This was great vibes. Phenomenal vibes. To the point where...
Said nothing after getting a snatch block. Mic'd up, did not say
you talked about a snatch block recently. We were talking about... we said... I forget what the context was, but someone was like... We were talking about
how they lead to offensive rebounds. And I was like, it's not that hard. Just do a snatch block.
He did. He did it. Yeah. Look at
him. Respect. Good.
Dude, this was great. This is super fun to the point where I don't even have a rat list. Like, I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, no. They're, I'm sorry. And just telling you guys now, there was not much on it. I mean, we had a little bit, but I was rushed.
I played video games. We had a busy pod today. Anyways, is that it? Like, this is a shorter pod, but can't help it. Like, they just killed him. They whomped him. Yeah. See you later.
Murdered him.
All right. Well, thank y'all. I was about to do an outro. Throw it to the rest of the show.
The NFL season is wrapping up, and there's still time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. Now, the app is so easy to use, and there are so many different ways to bet, like live same-game parlays. Find bets in the new Explore tab. Make a parlay in the Parlay Hub, the best way to find popular parlays, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Fell. All right, we are back after the Nets game. Obviously, we don't know how it went, but we can jump right in to what happened in the first Nets game, I suppose. So before that game, there was this whole war, I guess, kind of on Twitter of post-ups, about post-ups. Jake from First the Floor, who we watched the first Nets game with on the playback, posted a tweet, or he tweeted a response to Kendrick Perkins, who went on some ESPN show saying the Celtics need to post up more. So the Celtics don't post up enough, blah, blah, blah. And Jake pointed out they're second in the league in post-ups per game, and they are first in efficiency. What are you talking about? Then Perk got into a Twitter war with Greeny, who was on Jake's side, and then they like got on a call to like hash things out, which is just like weird and unnecessary, but sure. And then the Celtics came out in the Nets game and just posted up everybody in the first 5 minutes of the game. They were going to post up, to post up, post up, post up, post up. And then after the game, Joe was asked about it, and he goes, yeah, I feel like we didn't do it enough. And he goes, why? And he goes, I'm joking. We're second in the league in post-ups. What do you want? So he's just fucking with Perk. Celtics are good at post-ups. I think they also understand that, like, you need to diversify the offense past that and then go to that in the important spots. And I think they've done a pretty good job at that this year. But, yeah, it was a funny, like, Avengers warfare on Twitter for a little while there yesterday.
I mean, I'm a fan of the post-ups, of course. I've been saying please post up more forever. Over the summer, I was very excited about the Porzingis edition. I wrote about it for Celtics blog, how he can kind of do what Horford used to do when he was in his prime, which was post up and be good at it. And he's done that. And we've also seen Tatum do a lot more of it too. So the efficiency being first does not surprise me. I don't think the usage surprised me either. It does feel like they've done it more. It feels like it's been an emphasis. It feels like they've improved on it, which is great. Do I think it's outrageous to say they could do it more? Not really, but I'm the king of, I think they should do things more. I want them to be as good as they can be. And I think the post is a really great way for them to do that because, as I've said many times before, you get almost an automatic double on certain players if you post up. Somebody's open for free. All you have to do is pass to the guy with his back to the basket. And they've done a good job at that. Yesterday in Brooklyn, as you're hearing this 2 days ago, Tatum was posting up. Two guys were coming at him before he even caught the ball. And then they were able to find the open guy. Guys were getting open on the short roll because Tatum was drawing so much attention. They've used it to perfection this year. And I have no problem with the way that they've utilized it. And if you want to do more of that, why not? It rules. And to actually agree with Perk, Joe spitefully ran a bunch of post-ups at the beginning of the game, and the Celtics jumped out to a lead very fast.
That they did. I think they've done a good job at post-ups. I'd be curious to see how their, I don't know what the word is, like how often they go to post-ups in the first quarter versus the rest of the game is. If it's even, are they doing it more in certain quarters or not? I do think there is a point to be had of, I mean, they're posting up Cam Thomas most of the time in the Nets game. Like, you're not always going to have a Cam Thomas you can post up in opposing lineups. And I do think it is important to have other forms of offense rather than just post-ups, and the Celtics have proved that. But this notion that they're just a three-point team, I think needs to die because they are not anymore, and they haven't been for a long time.
I wouldn't say they are.
And I'm not saying you're saying that either, but a lot of people still do. So
I know Perk said that. That was one of his big look how smart I am moments on the clip, but no.
He said that in the clip that they're just a three-point team.
I think that was part of what sparked everybody getting mad. I think he was like, yeah, like all they do is shoot threes. They need to add more layers to their game, which would have been true if you said it, I don't know, what's it, February, 8 months ago? But now I don't really know how true that is.
Yeah, not even. I feel like they've been posting up more all season. Like, and the only reason they were
they have been posting up quite a bit this season. They've done a great job. Tatum has been great.
Oh, I thought you said beginning of the season.
Before the season started.
100%. No, I agree. But yeah, they're second in the league in post ups behind Jokic, which is like, of course they're gonna post. They are second in frequency. They're top of the league in points per possession on post ups. They are top of the league in points scored off post ups per game. They are third in the league in field goals attempted out of the post this season. They are like every metric you could possibly look at for the Celtics for posts is like they're doing it a lot this season. They are the best post up team in the league by percentile. Like, what do you want from them, Perk? What the hell? Yeah. Like, they do it literally more and more effectively than every team in the NBA. I think people are just so used to the narrative that they shoot a lot of threes because they do that and shoot a lot of threes that it like it gets lost in translation. But you see them do it. Like, for every JB mid-range there is, it spawns out of a post-up. For every JT driving on a smaller guy and kicking out, like, it usually ends up in a post-up. For every KP at the free throw line, he's posting up. Horford's been doing it more this year, which I know you've talked about it. Like, Drew Holiday posted up Cam Thomas like six times yesterday. Like, he leads the league.
He's got a big body. He should post up.
I think he leads guards in post-ups this year. I'll fact-check myself. But, like, everybody on the Celtics team, outside of maybe Derek White. I don't think Derek White's too eager to be posting up, but they've been doing a lot. Like, that narrative, it doesn't make too much sense to me.
In the last
Drew Holiday
season, season, you could say it. The only guy that was posted up last year was Marcus. Is it?
Yeah. 100%.
This year, not fair. Can't say it at all. Out of touch. Perk.
Agree. All right. Next thing we got is Joe Mazzulla calling out the NBA. Which I think, Sam, you agree with this. Joe Mazzulla was asked about Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis not making the All-Star team. His response, clearly winning's not important, huh? Winning's not valued. That's my reaction. How could you not put both those guys in? It's just winning's not the most important thing in the league. They're two guys, and when he was asked about like their reaction, are they upset, et cetera, he goes, they're two guys that get it at the end of the day. They're guys that have been around. They just want to play the right way. They want to be a part of winning, and winning is the most important thing to those two guys. At the end of the day, that's really – kind of all that matters when it comes to that, which is the good mindset. But Joe basically saying it's bullshit.
I agree. I don't think that either one of those guys should have gone in over take your pick. I mean, I think at least one of Porzingis / White should have got in instead of Scotty Barnes. I don't think those guys, you can talk about the stats of Trae Young all you want. And I agree with you. If you put Trae Young on the right team, he's going to be able to be hidden on defense a bit better, aka the Spurs. But I mean, we're not talking about hypotheticals, we're talking about real life. We're talking about today. And the Hawks are not a winning team, the Raptors are not a winning team. And for, I mean, what is Scotty Barnes putting up this year, Jack? Do you have it? No, I'll keep talking if you need to look it up. But
no, I got it. He is putting up this year 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 47-36 splits.
Literally don't care. I mean, Porzingis is doing very similar stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it as a third option. And it's not perfect. And Scotty Barnes is being asked to do everything for the Raptors, and he's supposed to be the guy going forward. And he's somebody they maybe want to market in Canada, which could be why Silver put him in there, because it was Silver's choice. But for somebody like Porzingis and Derek White not to get acknowledged in this, it kind of sucks, because Porzingis is playing some of the best basketball of his career. He's shooting a career high from the field. He's been still efficient from three, not as good as last year, but still good. And he's been healthy. Like, he's missed 14 games, but he's not sidelined. He's not, I mean, Embiid got in, and Embiid missed plenty of games too. And of course, he's Embiid, and he would have been the MVP probably if he didn't hurt his knee again, / hit the games out quota. But, you know, somebody else being in there over those two is just ridiculous, I think.
I think I'm more okay with Trae Young just because of how, like, it's kind of the Luka thing, right? Although they're worse. Like, he is, without that team, that team's, like, horrendous. They're terrible. And he's putting up, like, the stats to warrant, an all-star selection, and the efficiency has now matched his stats. And he's been on fire. So I'm okay with Trae Young. There's no reason Scottie Barnes should be in over either of those players. There's no reason Scottie Barnes should be in over Jimmy Butler. There's no reason he should be in over some of these other guys, other teams who got one, like Scottie Barnes. And respect to Scottie Barnes, he's having a great season comparison, right? Like he should be in the most improved conversations. He should be in the, you know, some of these other nods he could potentially get. He's a good player. He's playing great this year. He's just not an all-star in comparison to some of these other guys. The Celtics are 42-12 right now. Like, and you tell me that Scottie Barnes, the Raptors are 16 games below 500, right? 16, like Trae Young is at 6 games. There's usually one or two all-stars who get in on one of those teams who are like 5-6 games below in the 10-9 seed. Like when Vooch was making it for the Magic, because he was so far and away the best player on that team, putting up great stats, they were just like kind of competitive, kind of not. Like you look out west and you look at, I mean, it's not Steph Curry, but like Steph Curry's, the Warriors are bad, right? They brought it back a little bit, but yeah. They weren't great at the time of the selection, right? You can get there with Trae Young at least. I can't get there with Scottie Barnes. Like, there's just no reason. Like,
I mean, his numbers are not overwhelmingly better than either one of those guys.
No,
I mean, and I would White's down to like 15 points a game, but Porzingis is right around 20, and he's efficient, and he grabs rebounds, and he blocks shots.
When is the last time a player on this bad of a team made the All-Star game? This is like really bad. Like they're 19-35. I can't remember a time. Like what were the standings last year? Let me see.
Trae Young was a starter before. I don't know if they were good or not that year.
Yeah,
Luka's made it on bad teams.
But like 16 games below is next level terrible. Like that. Geez. Like you know who was 16 games below last year? The Blazers. You know who didn't make the All-Star team last year? Dame.
Yeah.
How is Scottie getting it?
Well, he missed a lot of time, I think, too. I could be wrong, but
I think you're right. But like Tyrese Haliburton made it last year and they ended the season 12 games below. Maybe that's the closest, but I think they were a little better at the time. Definitely. Like 2 years ago, the Knicks in 21. Yeah. Like
Tyrese won out and they got bad. That's why they're bad. It's not because he was playing.
The Lakers, maybe 2 years ago, 21-22. They finished the year 16 below 500. But even then, I think they were a little better at the break. And then they felt Scottie Barnes shouldn't be an all-star. Joe Mazzulla has it right. That's the end of the discussion. Like, it's crap.
It's a fact. Was a fact when it happened, too.
100%. I agree. Scottie Barnes never should have happened. But next thing we got, the Celtics bullied Ben Simmons into not playing tonight. So Ben Simmons played in the first Nets game. He has been ruled out for the second Nets game. And the Celtics intentionally fouled the shit out of Ben Simmons in the second quarter in the first Nets game. And then he said, nope, not playing. And Scal apparently on the broadcast theorized that he intentionally fouled to get himself out of that game so he wouldn't have to go to the free throw line anymore. What did he end up shooting? I think he ended up shooting like 4 of 6. 3 of 6. He shot 50% because he always missed the first one and always made the second one. So like I said on the playback, like credit for learning from his mistakes. But do you really think this is what it is, or do you think it is a back-to-back thing? Because it, as much as it is fun and easy to just make fun of Ben Simmons, like he probably is not playing back-to-backs, and I'd have to look. But it is like this is like it's so funny.
I mean, Jacque Vaughn came out in the post-game presser. I think that's how everyone knows that he's not going to play today.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think it might be a predetermined schedule. Hey, you're going to sit, but that's no fun. When you're Ben Simmons and you have the history that you have of being not very mentally strong slash a bad free throw shooter slash the 2021 playoffs when he literally didn't want to go to the basket because he was shooting 33% from the line against the Hawks. And then you're getting hack-a-Simmonsed and all of a sudden you want to play, buddy. In his defense, he never wants to play. But, you know, it's coincidence that, you know, Mazzulla plays bully ball. I don't know. I think it's funny. I would be curious to what Joe would have to say about that. I bet he would say shoot free throws better, buddy. That's probably what he would say.
Yeah. I wonder if he has been playing back to back. So I want to look at that now. Because that's probably the real answer. But like you said, it's no fun. Like I wanna make fun.
Don't even look.
I think it's what you're
look.
Not bad.
Yeah. Just don't
look. He's just be better. Don't be afraid. Play the game. Okay. They were hack-a-shacking both people, though. Nick Claxton was getting the hack-a-shack, too, which was funny. You see what Luke did? He literally just gave him a hug at half court.
I did not see that.
It was fire. You want me to pull up the clip? You can picture it in your head. He hugged him. He just goes, you gave him a hug, and then you let go, and Claxton was like, get off me. He was like, hey, I'm just doing what I'm told, man. Luke's so sick, man. I love him.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's jump right over the email. Let's see what people are talking about. Let's see who's interacting. I'll change the brand to Incognito and head to the wheel first. And got one more in me. Vince Carter, Timo.
Today is the day.
Finally paid off for you, brother. You're the only one that entered. Timo, spin that wheel. Who's winning some Incognito? Timo, if you don't listen to this, you don't hear us tell you what to do, then it is your own fault. But Timo, finally did it.
Finally is won.
Beat the allegations. Send us an email at hbtcpod@gmail.com with your name, phone number, and we'll get you hooked up with a $10 gift card to Incognito. So shout out, Timo. You made it. Send us that email. We'll get you linked up for a $10 gift card. So let's jump to the email. I almost shared my screen for my personal email. Not good. RJ, first, what's popping? I'll take potpourri for $400. Hey, guys, just a few random questions for you. All right, we'll answer these one by one. Robinson committed a foul on JB, a flagrant one. Then it should have been called, and JB, a flagrant one. That should have been called the KP and Bam, respectively. Bringing your forearm up through somebody's nuts is a lot of things, but it isn't a basketball move. I still think they were different. I still think it's maybe Bam should have gotten called for a flagrant after the fact, but I think the intent needs to be taken into account. Like, I don't think Bam started that move intentionally trying to hit KP in the nuts. I think Brown started that move intentionally trying to fling Duncan Robinson.
Well, I also think they look at the Bam thing and seeing the angle that we all got to see on Twitter in slow motion, it was like, hey, look, he low blowed him like he was in professional wrestling. Like, and, probably a flagrant. But they
unfortunately, also part of it was like KP didn't flop. If KP went down, they would have reviewed it. Bam would have gotten the flagrant. Duncan went down. Not that Duncan shouldn't have gone down. He did get flung by the arm, but like KP just handled it better, I guess. So that's how the NBA is called nowadays, unfortunately. Ben Simmons may be the generation's version of Bill Walton, a gifted player whose career potentially is never fully realized due to his medical history. I think that's a bit disrespectful to Bill Walton.
Yeah. Bill Walton led a team to a championship when he was healthy. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Simmons knew that, but I see the comparison. If Luke Payton and Sam Hauser, respect the parentheses, the Dunn Kings, which one is Brady? Which one is Affleck? My vote is Luke for Brady, Pritchard's Ben, which would leave Sam as
Matt Damon.
I agree with that. I think Luke, I think Luke is Affleck. I think he is the main character syndrome, take all the attention guy. I think
Pritchard would just be. I think Pritchard would be Matt Damon, actually. He'd be kind of annoyed that he was involved.
Okay. Yeah, I'll back that. And Hauser can be Brady, kind of like, I'll back you, Luke. But I think Luke is the center of attention.
Just him shooting threes through the Dunkin' Donut. Not missing.
With cap math affecting roster building or rebuilding, which current playoff teams do you think are the most likely to get stuck in mismanagement hell over the few years? Ooh, that's Lakers. A good question. That's a good question. Lakers, I think, are already there to a degree.
Clippers.
Potentially, yeah. Once these guys fall out here, I'll share the standings just for now. Philly, if Embiid doesn't come back, right? But they have Maxey. Pretty okay. That's a great question. Golden State is close to it. They're approaching that territory. Phoenix for sure. What is this? Oh, I'm in the wrong year. I was like, what is the standing? My bad. Thank you. Well, you just said year. I don't fucking.
I said it's the wrong year.
I didn't hear you. Mumbled the first part.
Other teams. I think Cleveland might end up getting screwed here.
Milwaukee. Milwaukee's.
Oh, yeah. The Dame contract's terrible.
That's going to be rough.
No doubt.
I think New York's in a good spot. I think Cleveland's in a good spot, depending on the Mitchell thing. I think Miami's in a good spot.
I think Mitchell's going to leave. It's just what I think.
Indiana's in a spot. But even if he does leave, like realistically, they'll still be okay. Like they've got good players past him. It's just
bird rights.
Kind of need that. Yeah. Okay.
Miami will chilling. Be in trouble, I think, eventually.
I think they're all right. I think Bam and Hero's contracts are both good. Maybe Jimmy's is going to get bad, but that's one. I think if they were any other organization with those contracts, they would be in trouble. But
yeah,
I think they'll find a way. They'll find a way. Bulls are screwed, but they've been screwed. Wizards. Everyone else is pretty okay. Wizards are just the Wizards.
Pool contracts. Not looking better by the day.
No. I think that's about
They're a playoff team, though.
I think the rest of the teams are all right. I think everyone's not too many teams. Minnesota, I worry about sustainability with those contracts, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Next, finally, do you think there are enough therapists in the Northeast to help all of Celtics Twitter get over their collective PTSD about the Celtics? The only thing I've yet to see is someone griping that JB ties his shoes the wrong way. Anyway, be well. I look forward to you hosting a playback, which we did. Thanks, RJ. Be well, RJ. No, there's not enough therapists in the Northeast. This fan base is sick. And it's for the best reasons, but
I'm sick too. Ill.
Yes. Everyone's this is Halloween. Sam's just playing with this fan base.
All around sick.
What's popping from RJ? My favorite colors of Celtics, favorite flavors, excuse me, of Celtics fandom rivalries. Morning, guys. Sun is up in San Francisco, the city by the bay that apparently has disappointed you by this time by not winning a championship. Yeah. Please, no, just no pleasing some people. Since Celtics Twitter has been up in arms and testicles too the last 2 days, thought I'd share how I root for the Celtics, what I like in fandom, and why I enjoy y'all and the HBTC crowd so much. First off, I root for my team to do well. I know that sounds like an obvious fan thing, but there are a lot of folks who love to endlessly ride the misery train with reserved seats in the what did they do wrong caboose. I want to see my guys do well, learn to do better, play well together, and win. I like chatting with folks with similar mindsets. Oops, Missoula drinking game, take a sip. I'm also a huge fan of breaking down player and team performances to see what they did right or wrong. Yes, I'm that stat head who gets cranky when the numbers in a gate don't add up. More importantly, I want data to be used to answer performance questions and not just justify my biases. That's why I've been a fan of writing on Celtics blog for so long. Lastly, fandom should bring people together, from Pete and his jerseys to U2 and Matt the Rat to the lovable loons of the first floor folks in HBTC fandom. Shout out to Latvian Pete, Timo, Philip, Perpetual Birthday Heart, and even our relentless Knicks lover, Andrew, who share their own enjoyable madness to the mix. Y'all are doing a great job, even as everyone is struggling with, is the All-Star break yet blues? Keep it up. Be well. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you, RJ.
I love that. That was a great email. We try our best.
We're here no matter what.
The comments are sick. I say it every time, but it is insane that there's like, what, like 50 people now who consistently come and comment on our videos? Like, yeah. Even if that's a small number, like in the grand scheme of things, that's nuts. From Philip, speaking of the birthday boy, cognitive dissonance. Hey, fellas.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for the river of content you guys and Bobby produce. I teach consumer psychology, and inevitably the hardest topic for college students to understand is cognitive dissonance. Apparently, I can't say it either. Basically, we all walk around thinking we're purely rational, but there are frequent instances when we aren't, specifically when we do not like the reality we are presented with because it conflicts with our attitudes or behavior. We lie to ourselves. JB's arm jerk of Duncan is a great example. Fans don't want to believe our team or JB is in the wrong, so they tell themselves Duncan was out of line, that he deserved it. It was a total accident, and there's no way it could have injured Duncan. Sorry, but those aren't rational takes. Those are wishful, irrational thoughts that are absolve you from change. We all do this sometimes. The mature, confident thing to do is recognize reality for what it is and change your perception if you have to. That's what you guys and Bobby did, and I applaud it. Best wishes, Phil the birthday boy. Yeah, I think it's part of our job. I feel like part of our job is to be objective and part of our job is to be irrational, and I think we balance it well.
Yeah. That's why we're both on the show too, but also I think we can both turn both sides on and off.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 100%. That wasn't me taking a shot at you. That was genuine.
No. I know it wasn't. But we both have like read the room thing with this, like, it's
yeah,
kind of serious. Like, Duncan Robinson could have literally got hurt. Like,
he could have gotten really,
really been hurt. Yeah. And I don't think both sides like overly crying is necessary, but like I said, crying power rankings, Heat fans deserve to cry more than Celtics fans do, so that's just what it is.
Agree. And glad that Duncan Robinson wasn't hurt as well.
New England, right,
next email.
Respect.
Absolutely. Who's playing really well this season, by the way? What's popping? Mid-season blahs. Morning, gents. It was fun to watch the playback with Jake from First to Floor during the Nets game. Can't wait for your next hosting gig. With the All-Star break almost here, there's lots of talk about players just making the time or just marking time to get their long weekend. With all the content you put out, especially on Sloan News, non-game days, how do you fight off the mid-year doldrums? What are your curveballs, and how do you get back to podcasting with a mindset of intentionality? Sorry, been binging Coach Maz pressers. Be well, RJ. I think the rat list is like
that, like growth
balance.
Like we see it doing well. It's much easier to sit down and do three shows in a day and all that. But when it gets slow, you get frustrated. But you still do it. You know, it's part of the process. And I think the year we've had is very helpful to that too. Like a lot of new people, like RJ hasn't been here for a year. He found us in the summer, but he's locked in. He's consistent with us, and we appreciate him so much. So like the amount of people like RJ that have come and watched us and stuck around makes it easier to do all this.
I feel like we're perpetually in a state of a, this is going to sound weird, but I'll explain, like a play-in team, where the sense of like a young play-in team. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, yeah. They got places to go. Like the Celtics are the best team in the league. They're going to continue the best team in the league, no matter if they take a few games off or not. If we take a few games off, like it affects the channel. Like that's the reason we haven't taken a game off since June. We've posted every single day on this channel since
June. At least once.
At least once, sometimes multiple times a day. And if we don't post, then it affects our channel's growth. It affects the consistency and affects the expectations we've set with you guys. And on top of all of that, like, I just enjoy it. Like, I really enjoy what we're doing. I know Sam does too. Like, we've been doing this for four and a few months, four years now. Yeah. Like, there's a reason we haven't stopped. Like, we started end of 2019. And then we took a little break when COVID started, but then since May, like when the bubble started up, posting at least once a week. And then since June last year, every single day, like we've been here, and it's just, I don't know. We like it. I think it's simple. Like, we like it. So,
and like, also like to that point, we did this for like 3 years where nobody listened. So
we used to be hyped when a podcast got over 15 listens. We were ecstatic.
Like, oh wow, like how'd that many people find us today?
So that's the answer. Appreciate you, RJ. Last email. This is 17 minutes ago. I think this came in during the email section. What's popping? Post up Pop Tarts. Morning, guys. Quick thought for you. Remember last 2 years when it seemed that every game that Rob Williams started began with Marcus floating him in a lob attempt? It got the offense going quick. Positive note, or on a quick positive note. Tuesday night against the Nets. I wonder how much of the early game post-up action was in a similar vein. Sorry, I got hit with the hiccups when I started this. Take advantage of inside opportunities for quick, relatively easy points to get everyone settled into the offense. The equivalent of a Pop-Tart. The basketball equivalent of a Pop-Tart. Simple and tasty to get you started. All part of a well-balanced breakfast or game plan. Just a thought. Be well. I think it was equal parts that and equal parts spite, genuinely.
It was definitely spite. Like, this is a Curb episode if Curb was basketball related. But to kind of funny, the Pop-Tarts was the example here because I'm pretty sure the Pop-Tart guy just died, like the owner. Or not owner, the founder, whatever, creator of Pop-Tarts just died. Yeah, rip. Seriously, rip.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter.
96, though, respect.
Oh, yeah, no. He got his licks in. But, yeah, he did. What do you want him to make? They're making a Pop-Tart movie. Seinfeld's doing it.
Respect.
You can make one, yeah. But I like the post-ups. I mean, we did a whole post-up segment already. So RJ's on the same wavelength as us. And it's just like a controlled, consistent way to play offense to me. There's a reason why teams for years ran their whole offense out of the post. It was because guys were less skilled, but also because it's effective.
Agree. Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart? Thoughts?
Oh, that's a good question. The cinnamon one with the frosting is good. Cookies and cream is good.
Cookies and cream is good. S'mores also great. Yeah. Two bangers. I mean, three back-to-back-to-back you hit. So, I agree.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, with that, let's jump over to the NBA section, see what's going on around the league. I'll pull up the standings like I always do, and we'll see how the teams are doing. Much appreciated. All right, Celtics, comfortable lead in the East, 6 games. They're now, dude, they're 7.5 games up on the Bucks. That's crazy.
They are lapping the field.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The Bucks, by the way, spiraling 4-6. Cavs still hot at 9-1. Celtics 8-2 in their last 10 with a 5-game win streak. They're still hot. The rest of the top of the East, though, outside of the Celtics and the Cavs, is no one else in the East is that great. No one else is even 7-3. Next best is the 6-4 Knicks, 6-4 Hawks, 6-4 Magic in their last 10. Everyone else, not great. So the Celtics are really taking advantage of this time. Same with the Cavs to get ahead of the pack, which is good. Like, you string together wins even when you're not playing your best. So respect. But Pistons, Sam, 4-6 still, even though they lost two. Like,
they're back.
Your Pistons.
We talked about Bobby. It's like, they watch out for the Pistons.
Genuinely, do you think the Pistons are better than the Wizards? Because I kind of do.
Yes, I truly do. It's not, I think, not the bit. Like, and they're about to catch them. They're what, one game behind?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're literally only a game behind.
I'd rather be the Pistons than the Wizards, too.
And also, the Bulls are only, 3.5 games out of the playoffs? And it's kind of crazy that they are slowly grinding their way up there. Them and the Hawks.
I know, right?
They're going.
Zach Levine being out for the season does wonders for your team. Addition by subtraction. Just like, look how good the Knicks were with Randle out.
It's the song.
They're the best team ever.
I think it's the opposite. I think they've been worse since he's been out. Maybe it's OG. You're right. It's OG, not Randle. Oh, they need OG back. Okay.
He's a good player. Randle, not so much.
The Bulls thing is the she's done miracles on me. Just Levine being out west. Top of the West is still standing firm, although the Timberwolves are slowly getting that lead back. They're now two games up on the Clips and the Nuggets and one game up on the Thunder. They've won three in a row. They're finding their footing again, but the West is hot. Lakers, Warriors, Mavs, all 7-3 in their last 10, including, as are the Clippers and the Timberwolves. Then the Thunder, Nuggets, Suns, Pelicans are all 6-4. So they're hot out there in the West. Kings are 5-5. The bottom of the West is still the bottom of the West, but the Warriors, 5 in a row now, Sam. They're back, kind of. They're kind of back, as are the Mavs, who have won 5 in a row, too. So,
yeah.
Anything surprising out West? You're starting to see some things take shape.
Draymond going around on the barbecue slap tour where he just slaps everybody, called out Nurkic and KD on his little podcast there. And then Nurkic was like, don't spend too much time on the podcast. Don't you have a therapy appointment to go to?
That back and forth.
Wrong with therapy rules.
When I read it, I thought it was the fake Draymond account. I can't lie. But
Draymond is spectacular. I don't know. I mean, Warriors being decent again is another team that could knock out the Lakers. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Next thing, speaking of the Lakers, the Warriors as well, and the 76ers called them up. They say, hey, y'all want to trade LeBron James? Rob Pelinka was like, hey, fuck off, basically. Is that kind of how that went down? This is reporting from Woj and Ramona Shelburne at ESPN. Basically saying the Warriors made an unsuccessful bid to convince Lakers and LeBron James to pair him with Steph Curry. Warriors were eager to present a package deal to LA, but neither Lakers nor James wanted to explore it. Basically that. And then as far as the Sixers thing, Morey called, said, hey, you know, what about this? Pelinka said no. Pelinka responded by saying, hey, Embiid available? And that ended the conversation. So I think that is the funniest thing that's come out of this to me. Just Pelinka being like, yeah, give us Embiid, brother. And he's like, click, see you later. This is unsurprising. You said it on Talking C's or maybe just in conversation. You have to ask, right? You have
to. If you're a GM, you have to do your like little rounds. But
it is funny.
I know we already kind of talked about this out there, but the calls coming in and actually like being somewhat significant to where they're getting reported, they're kind of getting reported because they're funny too. But like other people think maybe there's reason for them to not keep this together.
I mean, I get it. And I think we haven't even mentioned the Bronny part. Like, maybe they're like, hey, he could leave you anyways. Like,
this? True. They're like, we're just going to draft his kid anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. Obviously, I don't think it would ever happen. I don't think they'd trade LeBron James. I still don't think they will. I think the only end to this is he leaves. But we'll see what happens. It is funny. This is the ultimate. We're reporting this because it will get clicks, and goddamn it got clicks. So
they got clicks. There you go. Everyone's talking about it. It's funny. Apparently, Draymond texted LeBron. He was like, "I did you see this?"
No, but I saw a meme that said Clay and Draymond and Steph were trying to trade his bum ass at the deadline.
So I'm pretty sure this was in like the Woj article was like Draymond text.
Probably
was like, hey, I mean, what do you think?
Probably, yeah, that's all time stuff, man.
LeBron joining the Warriors would suck for Warriors fans, I think.
I think LeBron, that's a
rival.
I don't think LeBron would want it either. He's like, nah, fuck this team. They beat me every time. I don't want to join them. Which was,
I think it's like the same for the fans. Like they're like, sure. I don't want to do this guy. Fuck it.
I think it's a close equivalent to him joining the Celtics at this point for both.
Oh yeah, fan base and Celtics team. Disaster.
Exactly. Speaking of a disaster, the refs had one in the recent Knicks-Rockets game. Sure, Jalen Brunson, very mad. I have the video locked and loaded.
I'm mad for them, and I don't even like them.
So this was the play. The Knicks are contesting this because they ended up losing this game because Aaron Holiday got free throws on this last-second shot attempt.
Terrible.
They called a foul.
Inexcusable.
And they immediately admitted after the game that this wasn't a foul. They said, nope, shouldn't have been a foul.
This is a fireable offense.
That's really
bad. I'm not like being sarcastic.
He almost made that shit too. It's kind of crazy.
That when I saw it live, or not live, when I saw this for the first time, that was my only thought. I was like, oh, like they were like, what if that was like thrown off because he got hit? Like maybe we should reward him. Mm-hmm. But
bad.
You know how I feel about this shit. And you don't like it either. You don't like, you said no ticky tacks in the last 30 seconds. I think that could not be more perfect. Mm-hmm. This should never even be a debate. If it's a heave, unless you get speared, it's not a foul. Sorry, it's not.
I agree. In that situation, definitely. The Knicks, what is it, contested it? They
contested.
Challenged. Whatever it is. Challenged they it. Sent the whatever the word.
To the league and was like, can you believe this?
They filed a complaint. Yeah. And they, I don't know. I saw a report today that said like there's a legitimate chance it gets like, yeah, they redo. But, my question is, and we haven't talked about this, what happens to the bets that were placed in that game?
I think as of now, all of the people that bet the way it turned out, like in favor of Houston, will get their money. If it's overturned, it might be a push for the Knicks fans.
I think, yeah, I think push, get it back.
But I don't know. That's actually a good question.
I'm very curious. That puts another wrinkle into it.
Yeah, it does.
But speaking of another wrinkle, we've talked about Grant Williams far too often on this podcast since he's not in the Celtics, but we've got more. Did you see this? Or did this
no,
is the first time
I'm
tell you
I'm seeing this.
Let me read it to you. Windy reporting. I would say one of the ways Grant Williams rubbed people the wrong way, the yap, yap, yapping, obviously, that's kind of a part of it with him, which is charmingly obnoxious if he's productive and it's grating when he's not. But he didn't report in good shape. And Grant Williams not in good shape is not a good defender. Grant Williams has proven throughout the course of his career, when he gets in shape, he could be an impactful defender. But that's not the guy the Mavericks got. Which is just, oh no. Oh no, Grant.
All they were talking about was how big Grant's guns looked in the summer. I know. He was like, look how strong I am.
He was drinking the Kool-Aid.
You think he would maybe he was just like, I want to get paid and then I don't care. But you think he would have been more serious after getting paid? And also looking to make a first impression on a team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you don't picture that. Maybe he was just so excited to be like, he was legitimately like, I think we talked about him as their third best player on that team, like heading into the year. So it was like, maybe he just got a little bit too big for his britches and now he's humbled in Charlotte and winning again. So back, back
he down to earth. He went and he played for the historic franchise that is the Charlotte Hornets. And he said, look at all these points I'm about to score.
Is there a better team in the NBA with a better chance for Grant to get his number retired?
Pelicans.
Sure, maybe
they have legitimately no history.
But hey, Hornets Clippers. Are up there. Hornets up there.
I'm just quickly doing the rounds in my head.
Yeah.
Teams. I suppose you could look at like Toronto if he like went up there and was really good because they don't have as much of a history. Memphis, like Tony Allen's numbers retired in Memphis, and he was great for them. But like he was not like the best player on a title team. Like it's not like getting your number retired for the Celtics type thing.
100%. Yeah, there's no real comparison. All right, next thing we got is the Clippers sending players home. So we saw this first, PJ Tucker. Then more news came out about Bones Highland. Shams Charania reporting development. The Clippers sent home two players, Bones Highland and PJ Tucker, from their road trip versus the Warriors tonight, sources say. Both are expected to rejoin the team after the All-Star break. Now, Bones Highland's one thing, right? He probably wants to play. PJ Tucker, same thing. They both want to play, and they're not. Whatever. PJ Tucker going from complaining, not playing, to, nah, I'm good, I don't want to buy out, to sent home. It's just like, it's like alternate rubber band back and forth. What are we doing? So this is all-time shit. This is great.
PJ Tucker being upset is so funny to me. It's just like, I don't know, man. You're with your buddy Harden. You're still on the team. You're collecting a paycheck. I get that you have a passion for the game, But, like, you weren't playing great this year. You were just out there running when he was playing for the Sixers. He barely did anything. The playoffs, it was a big deal when he made baskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope PJ gets bought out because I've said on this podcast before, even though I know it's a terrible idea, I'd be in on PJ's back after Boston. Yeah, just
someone to beat up everybody else.
I know it's a bad idea. Like brain says no, heart says yes. So that's the dichotomy. That's the issue we're running with here. But we'll see what happens. And Bones Highland, like, I feel like he'd be a guy teams could take a chance on, like the Hornets or the Spurs or these teams that are going nowhere fast. Like, just pick him up. Why not? He's good in Denver. But last thing, Kyle Kuzma, respect. So Kuzma was reportedly offered a trade to the Mavericks at the deadline. And this is from Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Quote from Kuzma. There was a point in time, Dallas, they definitely did want me. Winger, which is their GM, I think,
yes,
presented me with that trade and was like, obviously, and he obviously didn't want to trade me and kind of left the decision up to me a little bit and asked me what I wanted to do. I told him I wanted to stay and continue to build something. That was kind of the end of it. Continued on. In my career, I've won a championship. So I understand that when we play this game of basketball, it's not about contending for a playoff spot. It's about contending for an NBA championship. There's only like three or four contenders, true contenders. I just felt like our timelines didn't add up or line up, talking about Dallas, which is like, I'd rather be in Washington than Dallas is all time.
Well, here's what I have to say about Kuzma. One, I can see the point, especially like the way we talk on this show. It's like championship or no matter what, you know. But for the Wizards, part of the process to winning a championship is getting in the playoffs with that group.
Yep.
And of course, they are building towards that. They're going to continue to try and put pieces there where they can compete with the younger core, even though Kuzma's almost like 30. So, I mean, I'm not convinced Kuzma's part of their championship plan. So watch yourself, buddy. That's really the take.
Yeah, I agree. I like Kuzma. I respect that he wants to stay in Washington and build. I'm like, good for you, man. Respect. All respect. Mm,
yeah.
But saying, like, I don't want to just make the playoffs, I want to win a title, when, like, that is the logical next thing for this Wizards team is, like, I don't think he is – for also for Detroit, I don't think he's there when they make the playoffs next, to be honest. I think he'll be gone. I think they'll trade him.
Correct.
Regardless, so.
He's going to be part of bringing in whatever talent helps them be good again.
And that not that he's not a good player, but he also doesn't fit their timeline, so. Ever. I think he would have been good in Dallas too. I think Dallas could have won a lot.
Maybe he just didn't want to play with Luka.
Possible. I saw something today that Luka's play style rubs people the wrong way. So maybe you're a little bit right.
I think that's a thing. Like, nobody wants to just sit there and watch.
It happens. You got to find the right guys to play with.
Porzingis basically said it.
Yeah. You got to find the right guys who want to play with a guy like that. Like, I don't think it's a knock on Luka. That's just how he plays. And you need to find guys because he's a legitimately great player. So you got to find guys that are willing to play that role. And we'll see that happens. But let's jump to the rat list here. I don't have much, so this probably won't be a really long one because I sit in the house all day. Like yesterday, grinded out 10 articles. My one and only rat list, and then I can let you take over. I was playing Valorant the other day. Do you know Valorant? Do you know of it?
I'm aware of Valorant, yeah.
So we played 5 games of Valorant, me and my buddies. We went 2-3. You're like, oh, not bad.
Right.
The 2 games we won were... The other team was botting, which if you don't know what botting is, it's when guys buy accounts so they can sell it. So they're trying to sell like iron accounts, which is like the lowest rank. And so they just like came in the game and just let us win in 4 rounds. Like they surrendered. So the only 2 games we won during the night was when the other team didn't exist. Like it was literally bots. And then the next day, my buddy and I played and we played an entire 25, 30 round match. And then once you get into overtime, after both teams get a chance, you have the option to vote for a tie. And it's like known in the game. It's like, don't tie. It's like, just play the game.
Yeah.
We tied, which means we literally got 0 rank, like nothing. It was like a waste of time. It's been a rough 2 days on the video games for your boy is all I'm saying.
Rough day for me yesterday too. Ratless, Madden League, play Madden League with my friends.
Off.
I got killed. Not a football guy. Not
who was it? Frank?
Couldn't
anybody
no,
beat you?
No. Frank doesn't beat me. no, it was my friend McKenna. But the ratless part of this is he was like up like 40 points or something because I couldn't get a stop. I was scoring like every once in a while. Like I wasn't that bad, but I could not get a stop. And I was just like letting the clock run. He called timeout when I had the ball with 1 second left. And I was furious. I just wanted to go back to my game and like enjoy playing Xbox. So that's a rat list. And rat list the snow, because the snow's back. I like the snow. And people, you say this every time. Like, I'm going to tell you why I don't like the snow. People on the road today, despite the road, if you just isolated the road, looking without like the sides of the road, you could think it was a day that it might have just rained in like June. There's no snow on the road. And they act like there's a lot of snow on the road. It's remarkable to me.
Tough.
So yeah, quick one.
Sorry for the quick rat list. We got stuff to do, and I mean, I think we just haven't really done much since the last rat list.
If something happens.
Yeah, maybe we'll have more later tonight. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it very much. Make sure to subscribe to How About Them Celtics. Check out the website too. We're up and running there. Check out all the Talk and See stuff. Do all the ratings on the audio platforms. You know, I love that. And I'll let Sam take it out.
Yeah. Thank you very much for watching. Subscribe. Hit the notification bell. We do videos every single day. Pods. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Talk and Sees Monday, Friday, Wednesday. Don't know why I said it like that. Whatever. Game recaps, days after games, other days, other videos. Half hour before every game, we're live. So hit the bell. You won't miss any of it. Spotify and Apple, follow us there. You'll get the audio versions of pods and game recaps right to your inbox. Emails, definitely send us email, hbtcpod@gmail.com. We read them. We appreciate you. You can also follow us on social, at With MCs, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is just the name of the pod. Streams are there and on YouTube and on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is at Jack's Twitter NBA. Mine's at Sam LaFrance NBA. Is it for us? Bye. Check, check, go.